As the country starts winding down for Christmas, the search for spending cuts is cranking up in Canberra. Treasurer Joe Hockey vowing every area of government expenditure will be examined to identify savings to help repair the federal budget. The prospect of deep cuts has sparked concerns that Australia's charity sector may bear the brunt at the very time that their services have never been in more need. Dr. John Falzon is the chief executive of the St. Vincent de Paul Society. He says making the not-for-profit sector step in to pick up the pieces is no way to run the country. John Falzon is speaking with political editor Alison Carabine in our Parliament House studio.
John Falzon, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
You wrote this week that despite the season of good cheer being upon us, the future is frightening. For whom? Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about the people who've been living in a permanent state of recession in this lucky country. The excluded who have been waiting and are still waiting for the supposed trickle-down to trickle-down. Sadly, the kind of announcements we saw with the MyIFO statement presage an agenda that can only be described as political ideology dressed up as economic rationality.
But we're yet to see the extent or even the content of what cuts could be in the pipeline. Joe Hockey says the aim is to reduce the size, the scope of government and improve the efficiency of government. We're yet to see what the government may have in mind. So how concerned is the welfare sector at what might be coming down the line?
I'll make 2 points, Alison. First of all, the kind of cuts that we are expecting and that have already been announced are cuts that are going to hurt people with so many needs. At the those with wants are not being touched. The people with needs, for instance, the people who are desperately in need of a NDIS, the people who are in need of a lift to the unemployment benefits, the single mums who are struggling, the people who are desperate to see a redistribution of education resources through Gonski, these people should not be made to pay for the austerity agenda of the government. The second point I'll make is this. It's one thing to say we must look for cuts to spending. Why on earth is there not on the table a consideration of the ability to increase revenue, to broaden the revenue base? People keep on making this analogy between the economy and a household that we've got to live within our means. Now, if you cannot live within your means, one of the considerations you must make is whether you can increase your income. Sadly, if you're one of the workers who's just been laid off, your choices are very limited. A choice between a rock and a hard place, despite the Prime Minister's unusual assertion that you might feel liberated. But if you're the government, you do have choices to make about increasing revenue. And I do not understand why this is not on the table.
Well, we might get back to the revenue side, but with regards to expenditure, Joe Hockey wants more bang for his buck. Do you see too much waste and inefficiencies in the current arrangements? And if they are, is there scope there for the government to target higher income earners, for example, superannuation arrangements?
Absolutely. This is precisely what we would like to see, those who are not desperately in need of government social expenditure, actually chipping in and helping to pay their way. This is not about envy of those who have a great deal, but it's about a sense of fairness that those who have much should be contributing a greater amount so that everyone can have what they need. I'm not talking about luxuries, I'm talking about the essentials of life, a place to live, a place to work, a place to learn, a good health system. We shouldn't be seeing cuts to those areas of expenditure. We should be looking for ways to ensure that people at the top top end should not be getting generous tax breaks. It's just beyond any sense of rationality.
And are there any other specific measures you'd like to see the government target?
Look, certainly there were a number of recommendations of the Henry Tax Review. We'd like to see areas such as the capital gains tax exemptions. We'd like to see the treatment of trusts being looked at. We'd like to see a tighter targeting of negative gearing so that it actually improves the supply of low-cost housing. We'd like to actually see on the table a review of the income tax system, of the top end of the income tax system.
So that goes to revenue. So the welfare sector does not support any change to the GST because it's a regressive tax, but you would like to see higher income tax rates?
We'd like to see, look, Australia is the fifth lowest tax to GDP ratio country in the OECD. We've got the third lowest personal income tax. There is plenty of room to move there. There's also room to move, I dare say, on the tax on high-end luxury items. The simple reality is, if you can afford to buy a high-end luxury yacht, then you can afford to pay a little bit extra in tax to help fill the coffers so that people's health needs, so that their legal aid needs, their education needs, all of the things that help make us human and in the long term improve the budget bottom line, because one of our issues is a slowing of the economy because of a slowing of wages growth. If we want to see a stimulated economy, if we want more people participating, you know, if you talk to the 700,000, over 700,000 people unemployed, 900,000 people underemployed, over 100,000 people experiencing homelessness, over 200,000 people on the waiting lists for public and community housing, these are the people that we should be looking to make sure that their needs are being addressed.
Well, when he was at the press club, the Treasurer again used the expression that a rising tide lifts all boats. In other words, if you fix the economy and fix the budget, everyone will benefit. Has that been your experience working for so many years now in the charitable sector?
It's an absolute nonsense. I have to put it as baldly as that. There are people without boats. There are people just drowning at sea, and they have been living in a state of permanent exclusion. And what's more, they are then blamed for their own exclusion. People who have lost their jobs, people who have never had an opportunity to get into the labour market, people who've been denied access to training and education, and who are just left out and pushed out. It's so convenient to blame them, to not look rationally at ways to improve their chances of employment participation by, for instance, lifting the Newstart allowance by a minimum of $50 a week.
And would you concede there's no chance of that now?
Look, we don't give up. Call us dreamers, but we cannot give up. You know, we're in the biggest fight of our lives because we will not resile from standing in solidarity with the people who've been pushed out for so long. We're not about to give up now. You know, there's a lot of sadness in the air because people are feeling a sense of despair. On the one hand, we've got a surfeit of wealth, and the other hand, a surfeit of despair. Sadness is not as strong as solidarity. Solidarity will always be stronger, and we will all together fight for the kind of society that is decent, that does not humiliate its members.
John Falzon, thanks very much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Alison.